Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 5 and verse 1 through 12. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 1 through 12. Here in the book of Hosea, of course, we have been going through many of things, speaking of the sin of Israel and how the Lord was going to deal with them. And we talked about Hosea, we've talked about Gomer, we've talked about the children and the land and all of those things. And we're going to deal with something here tonight that I believe is the cause for everything that was going on in these people's lives. Now, it is easy to say, well, sin was the cause, amen? And yes, it was. But we're going to be talking about something that goes along with that this evening. And we see here in Hosea chapter 5, we're going to be reading in verse 1 through 12. And notice the Bible says this. It says, "Hear ye this, O priests, and hearken ye, house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me, for now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face, therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord. For they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness." Now, as you go down through that passage there, you find out that the Lord is not speaking kindly, if you will. This is not a message that people want to hear. But the Lord's telling them exactly what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. It's because of their sin. And so let's open here in a word of prayer tonight, and we will get into this passage here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we do thank you, Lord, for the truth and those hymns that we just sang, Lord. And I thank you for that hymn that was unfamiliar to us, but Lord, that we were able to just sing together, and just we rejoice in the truth of that hymn. And Lord, I do pray that each and every one of us, Lord, now that the Word of God is opened, Lord, I pray that we would just give full attention to the Word of God. Lord, that you would just bind the devil, and Lord, that you would just rid every distraction out of our minds and out of this room, Lord, and that we would be completely focused on what you have to say to us tonight. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as our Savior, I pray they'd come to know you tonight. And that for those of us that are saved, Lord, help us to draw closer to you. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would leave here knowing that we heard from you this evening. And Lord, I do pray that your name be honored and glorified, and ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, last week as we were in this book of Hosea, we talked about how the Lord had a controversy. And of course, he was not happy with the land, and he continues that thought here into this next passage here. But he's not only talking about the condemnation that the people are doing to themselves. Now he starts talking about the nation as a whole. He's telling the people there in that last chapter there, he's telling them that what they had done wrong and how these people were acting, and they were sliding back. And he said they're like a backsliding heifer, and Ephraim has joined the idols. So he's talking about them there in that last chapter. And here in this chapter, we find here, of course, a continuation of that picture of America, if you will. Of course, this is the nation of Israel here. I'm not equating America to be in the Old Testament or anything like that. But what I'm saying is this. What they were guilty of there in the nation of Israel, what they were guilty of here in the book of Hosea, is exactly what we find in our nation today. And it's what we find across this world. There's a striking resemblance of America in chapter 4. The Lord hath a controversy with our land. But tonight, as that subject continues into chapter 5, the controversy is explained, it is explained to the nation, but also to people individually. And I want to preach to you a message I've entitled this evening. Do you have the spirit of whoredoms? The spirit of whoredoms. We see that in chapter 4 in verse 12. It says there, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For know that the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. And then there in the passage we read tonight in verse 4, it says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. The spirit of whoredoms I'm talking about tonight is not just this physical sin of fornication and adultery. That's not what we're dealing with here tonight. I want us to see tonight that this spirit of whoredoms is not what mankind wants to say about it, but rather it is toward idolatry. Esteeming sin higher than God. Esteeming ourselves greater than we esteem God Almighty. And we see that that's exactly what was happening here in the nation of Israel. Why does someone turn to a sinful deed rather than following the Lord? Because that's what their eyes are on. That's what they're focused on. That's what their flesh says, I want to do. Therefore, they are esteeming that higher than God. We heard this morning, you cannot serve two masters. You're only going to serve one of them. If you're serving the world, then you're not serving God. If you're serving God, then you're not serving the world. It's that easy. So when it comes to us tonight, how is our spirit? And what spirit do we have individually? So first of all tonight, understand this, the people involved in the spirit. The people involved in the spirit. Look at verse 1, if you will. It says, hear ye this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread on Tabor. Now notice there, we read the priest. This sin, the spirit of whoredoms in the midst of them, notice who he speaks to first of all. He's speaking to the priest. This whole land had this spirit of whoredoms in the midst of them, and they were not following after God. Therefore, there in verse 4, it said, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. At the end of the verse, it says they didn't even know God. And he's speaking to the priests here. He's speaking to these ones who were supposed to be these religious leaders. And he's saying, there's even sin found in your house. The spirit of whoredoms is found in each and every one of you. The issue is, in our nation and all around this world, for too long, religious leaders have been worshipped rather than directing the worship to God. I can think of one man, and this man is he's very well known across America, and even in some places internationally as well. I'll leave his name out tonight. I'm not out to attack this man, but what I'm saying here tonight is something that he did, and some of the things that I've heard him say, and those things, they are things that will just want to bring you to tears, and that a man of God would do this. This man would walk into the room, and the whole place, this man was a pastor, the whole place would rise, and they would start clapping. Okay, you say, well, they appreciate their pastor. Well, he would walk all the way to the front, just like the President of the United States, stopping here and shaking hands and all of that. And he got to the front, and I'll never forget seeing him do this. He gets to the front, and he says this, as they're still clapping and praising this man, he goes, okay, you can stop now. And then he starts doing this. I thought to myself, how sad is that? That this man is willing to be worshipped. What happened there? He had the spirit of whoredom. He was not chasing after God. He wasn't following the Spirit of God. He was wanting the praise of man. And that's exactly what we see here. These priests, they were not doing these things for God's glory. They were doing these things to get what was best for themselves in the fleshly sense. They were willing to be worshipped. And don't get me wrong, I understand the respect for the pastor and all of that, but I believe, church, that a man should never be worshipped. I think of First Samuel, when you start reading that book there, of course we know that Hannah has a son and she names him Samuel, and he goes to live with Eli, and shortly after that you're going to find that Eli's sons, they were involved in all sorts of evil deeds. Now, they were the sons of the priest, the sons of the prophet. These were the ones who were supposed to be holding the mantle, if you will. But they were stealing from the very house of God. They were living wickedly, and Eli refused to do anything about that. And the truth of the matter is, God deserves all the worship. It doesn't matter who someone is. We should not worship a man. We should be worshiping God. The Son of God is the one who died for our sins. That's the one we need to be worshiping. We need to be following Him. Mankind is going to let you down. Mankind is going to fall short. And all the religious leaders of this day, it doesn't matter how spiritual someone may seem, there is no one that's above reproach. No one at all. It's only by God's grace that we stay away from that. I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 6, if you will. Galatians chapter 6. Anyone that says, well, I'm above reproach, that would never happen to me. Well, look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 and see what the Bible says. Amen. Notice Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Church, it can happen to any one of us. Any of us. Because we have that sin nature inside of us. We see here that the religious leaders had this spirit of whoredoms, and we've all heard the horror stories of religious leaders who have fallen into sin, and a lot of the time what you're going to find is that sin has been going on for year upon year upon years, and it was always just swept under the rug, and a lot of time has been wasted, and rather than seeking restoration, the sin was just covered up for so long. You see that many times. But can I tell you this tonight? Just because someone holds a, quote, religious title does not mean that they do not have the spirit of whoredom. It can happen to any of us. Any of us that are not following the Lord. Too many times there are people who hear sin preached against, and they hear what the Bible says about certain issues, and instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them personally, they automatically think something like this, well, I'm so-and-so, or I teach this class, or I pastor this church, or I preach these meetings, so God must be speaking to someone else tonight. No? Anytime the Bible is open, God is speaking to me. He's speaking to you as well. The priests here, the religious leaders, had this spirit. Notice it mentions someone else there as well. Look at verse 10. It talks about another group also in this passage that had this spirit. Notice verse 10. It says, "The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound." The rulers of that land there had the spirit as well. So we see the religious leaders. We see the political leaders, the princes of the land. And it says that they had removed the bound. Now, this is speaking of a property line. That's what it's talking about there. When I was studying this out and trying to figure out what the bound means and what that means in this context here, notice here it's the boundaries of the land that were removed. It's speaking of the literal boundaries of this land that God had given to them, and they've removed those boundaries. They've just accepted whatever's going to come, then that'll be fine. We're accepting of everybody. What they were saying is, we're accepting of their sin. That's what they were saying. I think of the time when Abraham and Lot, there was issues between their herdsmen, and Abraham told Lot, choose wherever you'd like to go, and of course Lot chose the area towards Sodom, and the Bible, not too long after that, it says this, that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. What did he do there? He removed the boundaries. The place in which at one time he said he would never go. Well, I don't want to be a part of that sinful lifestyle. Well, then he starts moving a little closer. And then he starts getting a little bit closer. And then not only is the land of Sodom and Gomorrah back there, but now he is pitching his tent that way. That means that's the way that he is traveling. You see, he had the spirit of whoredoms. The spirit of whoredoms here was found in the princes, and they were removing these boundaries between what God had given them and other nations. And spiritually speaking, we see that today. There's many churches that you're not going to find any boundary lines. And I'm not talking about the literal boundary lines when you survey the land and all of that. What I'm saying is in many churches, you're not going to see much biblical separation. You're not going to find that, excuse me. You're going to find that people are trying to just continue to do exactly what they want to do. Excuse me for just a moment. Amen. We'll get there eventually. Amen. Glad I got some water here. But the truth is, when you walk into many churches today, they don't look a lot like churches. Looks a lot like a nightclub. Looks a lot like something that the world put together. And what you're going to find is the Bible is not the center of the room. The Bible is not what everyone is coming to hear. When you go into a place, what you're going to find is more time is spent in the what they would call praise and worship than what is spent in the Word of God. And that shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't be the case at all. Church, we are here for one reason. I love singing the hymns of the faith. I love doing that. I love singing together as a congregation. I love hearing the piano played. But if we were to come here and not hear the Word of God preached, we can sing at home. We can do all kinds of things to entertain ourselves, can't we? We come to hear the Word of God preached. And the truth of the matter is, in many of these churches today, you're going to find that there are no boundaries. There's nothing there. There's no separation from anything. You're going to find in many churches today that they're led by just some board somewhere that says, well, this is what you need to do, and here's how you need to do it, and it needs to go exactly this way, and the pastor can only preach on these things, and you can only sing these songs. That's what many people are doing in churches today. But that should not be the way it's done. What you're going to find is in churches that are not pastor-led churches, you're going to find that they are not following the Bible in other areas as well. And in every case, you're going to find the boundaries are gone. Why is it that churches want to get rid of the separation stuff? Why is it that they would call us fanatics? Well, you just use the King James Version Bible. You're a fanatic. Well, you dress a certain way, or you only listen to this music, or you get up on Saturday mornings and go out and knock on doors. You must be some of those crazy religious people. Why do they say that? Because of the spirit of whoredom. That's exactly why they're saying that. Because it's not, in their mind, it's not about coming together and hearing from the Word of God. It's about coming together and having a good time. Now, I love having a good time, amen. I have fun in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a good time. But the truth is, there needs to be a seriousness around the Word of God. And the only way that we can do that is by getting rid of this spirit of whoredoms. Many churches, there's no sacredness in the house of God. Not because the Word of God is no longer relevant, but because in many cases, the leaders have the spirit of whoredoms. And each and every one of us are one decision away from being there. So we see, of course, the priests with the spirit of whoredoms. We see the leaders there with the spirit of whoredoms. Also, notice someone else that had the spirit of whoredoms. Look at verse 1. It says, hear ye this, O priests, and hearken. Notice, ye house of Israel. Now he's speaking to everyone. Now he's not only talking to the ones in charge. There's a lot of people that'll say, well, the church did this, and the church is doing that, and well, that's because of the pastor. It went downhill because of the deacons. It went downhill because of this decision that so-and-so made. No, he's saying that spirit of boredom was found in the whole nation of Israel, the house of Israel. He says, you can point your fingers all you want, but the truth of the matter is it's found in every single one of you. That's what he was telling them here. Notice there in verse 4, it says this, for the spirit of boredom is in the midst of, it doesn't say the leaders, of them. That's everyone, each and every person there. The spirit of boredom was found there. It was found in the land, in the midst of them. There was no one immune to this spirit, and we see here that it affected the whole land. And I understand that a leader is going to have an effect on the people. I understand that completely. But the truth of the matter is, if we disobey the word of God, it's not because of what some man said. It's because we decided that we were going to disobey the word of God. You see, that spirit of boredom cannot be blamed on anyone but ourselves. So first of all, we see the people involved in the spirit. Notice, second of all, we see this, the sin involved in the spirit. Here in these verses here, we see a lot of things that are happening because of this spirit of boredom that's there. There in verse 1, we see there that it says this, ye have been a snare on Mizpah and a net spread upon Tabor. Notice, there is not much that's said about Mizpah and Tabor that allows us to study into this very deep here. But what we do know is this, that there was much deception that was found there. And these people, they were deceiving this place because it talks about a snare and a net. They were trying to trap some people into doing some things. That's who these people were. They had ensnared others and trapped others because of the spirit of whoredom, because of their greed. And they were a deceptive people. If you're always trying to trap someone or deceive them into doing something, then that is the spirit of whoredom. Let's be a truthful people. Let's be people that can be trusted. Amen. Let's not be people who are known for always being deceitful. But realize they were not only deceitful towards each other, but look at verse 7, if you will. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord. You see, we can say all we want, well, I'm serving the Lord, but if we're being deceitful with people, then we're trying to deceive the Lord in some way as well. Because you cannot serve two masters, as I mentioned earlier here. When I think of someone trying to deceive the Lord, I think of what we find over in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. And of course, a story of deception is found there. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Very well-known account in Scripture here. It says there in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, but thou hast not lied unto men, notice there, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them and heard these things. And the rich men arose, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came on all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. What do we see there? Deception. But they just lied to the preacher. They just lied to the church. No, he said they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to God Himself. You see, if we are a people, a people that are deceitful people, then it's not going to stop with our deceit just toward one another, but we will be deceitful toward God as well. Someone with a lying tongue has the spirit of whoredoms as well. There's deceit found there. Church, we serve an omniscient God. He knows everything. No matter what it is, God knows that. And why would we allow the devil to convince us that we can hide things from God? See, in the spirit of whoredoms here, we find the sin of deceit. Also, we find the sin of defiance. Look at verse 2. It says this, "And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all." These are the ones who, rather than following the way of the Lord, they decide to do things their own way. We've all been there. We've all been a revolter at some point. You're going to find in a defiant person, one of these revolters, one of these ones who have the spirit of whoredoms is this: "Well, I know what the Bible says, but I am going to do this," or "this is why I don't have to do that." And they try to come up with the best excuses about why something doesn't apply to them. But at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is God's Word is true and every man's a liar. That's what we know to be true. If we do not obey the Bible, if we are defiant, what it calls here revolters, then we have that spirit of whoredoms. Notice also defilement there in verse 3. "I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled." We see this defilement. It's speaking of what they are teaching throughout the land. The minds of the people are being defiled. And that's what we see happening in our land today as well. Even in our churches today, people that once stood for one thing, biblically speaking, they were standing for biblical standards. And over time, they've allowed their mind to be defiled by the unbiblical preaching of the Word of God. And now they've brought themselves to the place where they themselves are defiled. Many years ago, they began to teach that abortion was okay. Many years ago, they began to teach that life didn't begin in the womb. It began at birth. And since then, you know what we've seen? Murder rates have skyrocketed. Now, what does abortion have to do with murder rates? If the life in the womb doesn't matter, then why does the life out of the womb matter? You see, it's that defilement, it's that teaching, it's that it's them subconsciously being taught that life has no worth, and they say that the life in the womb, well, that's not really a life, and they're saying that, well, as a person reaches a certain point in life, well, their life doesn't matter either. And the truth of the matter is, if we as individuals can decide what life matters, and the truth is, in our minds, life is not going to have any worth because we've been defiled. I mean, you see, that defilement happens over a period of time as the teaching has been defiled. You know, church, there is conditioning going on today. It's going on through TV programs, through the public school system, through the colleges of today, and they're conditioning people with a defiled theology. They are teaching people that God isn't real, or they're teaching people that God is just mystical being somewhere. But the truth of the matter is, when they're teaching this defiled theology, they are going to produce people that have defiled philosophy as well. Because your theology, what you believe about God, is going to dictate how you live. It's going to. What you believe about God will determine how you live. But there's many people out there today who say they believe one thing, but their life says something different. Why is that? Because of the spirit of whoredom. Because it's running rampant in our world today, and even in our churches today. Also, there in verse 11, we see another sin there, and notice here, it is the sin of dedication. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be dedicated to something. We should be dedicated to God, amen? But notice here in verse 11, it says, "Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment." Now, wait a second here. If he's walking after the commandments, well, why is he broken in judgment? It's not talking about the commandments of God. It's not what it's talking about there. Isn't it true that there seems to be a lack of dedication to God in the Bible today? We know that to be true. It seems as though people are not dedicated, but people are dedicated to the mindset of the world. You tell somebody that you're going to go out and cut down a tree, and let me tell you, you're going to get an earful about it, aren't you? Well, how dare you go out there and cut that down? Truth of the matter is, people are dedicated to causes. Dedicated to the mindset of this world. That's how Israel was. They were dedicated to the commandments, but not the commandments of God. They were dedicated to the commandments of false religion. We see that in different places today. Roman Catholicism, the Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witness, and things that it's just crazy things that people will do in the name of religion, and people are flocking to it. Why? It's not because they're not dedicated to commandments, but they're dedicated to the commandments of false religion. Church, if we as believers are more worried about what people think and the philosophy of this world than we are about the Word of God, then we have the spirit of whoredom. We need to be on guard against that. Notice also another sin was their distrust in God. Look at verse 13 of chapter 5. Notice when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. Notice they didn't go to God about this. Who'd they go to? They went to the world. They went to the Assyrians. They went to the very ones who are going to take them captive. That's who they went to. They lost their trust in God because of the spirit of whoredom. Of course, the nation of Israel, I'm sure they had health problems. They needed doctors and all of those things. They were not going to go to God about it, but they were turning to their enemy, the Assyrians. And God had brought them through so much, but yet they refused to trust Him. Their trust in God was gone. We, of course, see that today. All of us at one time or another have been guilty of this, having a health struggle. And before we ever take it to the Lord, we take it to the doctor. Now, I love doctors. I think doctors do a wonderful job. I thank the Lord for them. We have, of course, Paisley. She has doctors that do great work with her. But God forbid if something ever happens that we would go to man before we would go to God about it. How can those doctors do what they do? Because God's given them the wisdom and the talent to do that. We need to place our trust in God. And if we place more trust in man than we do in God, notice that spirit of whoredom is creeping into our lives. We should not have more confidence in modern medicine than we have in the power of Almighty God. If it's not God's will for someone to be healed, can I tell you this? The medicine's not going to help you. If it's not God's will for you to get better, if it's God's time for you to go and to be into heaven with Him, can I tell you this? It doesn't matter what a doctor does. God knows exactly what's going to happen in your life. He knows when we're going to die. Church, what I'm saying here is this. If we take things to man before we take them of God, we have the spirit of whoredom, and we need the Lord to help us with that. We need to remain faithful to God. And then notice here, lastly, this evening, notice not only do we see the sin involved and the people involved, but notice lastly here the God that can rid us of this spirit. Church, God does not want us to live with the spirit of whoredom. He doesn't want us to go throughout our days and just think that that's just a normal thing. That's just my cross to bear. People who live unbiblically, they'll say things like this. Well, that's just who I am. Doesn't have to be. We can trust God. We can trust God to help us through each and every day. We can ask the Lord, Lord, help me to get rid of this spirit of whoredoms. Here in verse 3 it says this, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. Notice verse 8 and 9, the Bible says this, blow ye the cornet in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah, cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel. Notice, have I made known that which shall surely be. Truth of the matter is, God saw everything that was going on there. He knew the spirit they had. He knew the times that they served Him and the times that they turned against Him. He knew those things. Aren't you glad that even though there is a world of flesh and a devil, that we serve a God that's stronger than all of that? We do. We serve a God who's stronger than that. And God reminds Israel here that He's not fooled by their actions. They may have mankind fooled. The priests may have fooled the princes, and the princes may have fooled the priests, and collectively they may have fooled the people there. But God was not fooled by these things. He says, I know about them. There in verse 3, he said, Israel is not hid from me. I can see everything that's going on. He tells them that everything they think, say, and do, he knows about it. Church, if we can get that understood, then that will help each and every one of us. You may be able to hide things from the pastor or the church or your family, or you may be able to hide things from your spouse, but you cannot hide anything from God, even the spirit of whoredoms. We see in verse 8, of course, he's warning them of what's going to come. And we have many warnings throughout the Bible. And the truth is, many times in the context of Scripture, the Bible will say, if you do this, then this is going to happen to you. And we do that, and this happens, and we get mad at God about it. If you walk up to a hot stove, and if I put my hand on this hot stove, it's going to burn me. So we put our hand on the hot stove, and then we get mad at the stove manufacturer. Well, I can't believe that thing burned me. Well, you knew exactly what was going to happen. You see, it's easy to see that physically speaking, but many times we fail to see that spiritually speaking. And we continue through life with the spirit of whoredom, continue through life with these sins that we talked about. We serve the God of heaven, the very God that saved us from our sins. He is there. He can deliver us from this spirit of whoredom, but we have to turn to Him. But the spirit of whoredom doesn't want us to do that. Now, the spirit of whoredoms wants us to keep going our own way. Many warnings in the Bible, and we should see that as a blessing from God, because God loves us enough to warn. We can learn from this passage here. Why did God give us this passage? It's so that we can see exactly what happened to Israel, and we can make different decisions than they made, so that that doesn't happen to us as well. Many times we just continue in their footsteps. I heard a statement one time. I'm sure you've heard this statement or one that's very closely related to it. But those who fail to study history are destined to repeat it. You know, as many churches that will not preach the Old Testament, they won't preach it. Well, that's just old time. Church, I need all the help I can get. Amen. I need every word of God, because I know that my flesh wants to go toward that spirit of whoredom. That spirit of whoredom wants to rear its ugly head. We need all the Bible. We have it because God has given it to us so that He can warn us what's going to happen if we disobey. There in verse 9, we see the omniscience of God there. Once again, he says that Ephraim shall be desolate. Notice there at the end of the verse, have I made known that which shall surely be. God knows today, tomorrow, and next year, as well as He knows yesterday, last week, and even years prior than that. God knows everything that's going to happen, and He can deliver us from that spirit of whoredom. But it's going to take some work. It's going to take some action. I want you to look over at the book of James, if you will. The book of James. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, if you will. James chapter 1, and verse 5 through 8. Notice what the Bible says here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Notice there in that passage that if you lack wisdom, ask it of God. If you lack anything, God is there for you. It says that if you lack it, then God's going to give it to you. It says He giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Many times we say, well, if I just would have known. But the truth is, if we had read the Bible, we would have known. If we had studied the Word of God, we would have known. Maybe you're here this evening, and maybe it's one of those sins that I discussed there, or maybe it's something else, but whatever it may be, maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, prodded you tonight, and said, hey, that spirit of whoredoms is within you. That spirit of whoredoms is coming up in this area of your life, and you need to take care of that. Can I tell you this? If you ask God to forgive you of that and to deliver you from that, He's going to do that. He's going to do that in faith, believing. 1 John 1:9-10. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The spirit of whoredoms is an unrighteous spirit. And He can deliver us from that. There in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Church, every one of us have this spirit. All of us. But the truth of the matter is, we need to understand that that spirit needs to be suppressed by God Himself. We cannot allow that spirit to rule our lives. The Bible says that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we must confess the sin. The Lord knows all about it. Let's confess that sin. Let's repent of that sin before God. The spirit of whoredoms is within all of us, but are we given to it? Are we allowing that to rule our life? Are we allowing it to show itself in our lives? Or are we allowing the Lord to control our spirit? It's not a question on whether or not the spirit of whoredoms is there. It's whether or not we're obeying that or obeying the Word of God. Spirit of whoredoms is there. If we continue following the spirit of whoredoms, you're going to find yourself in a mess, just like we see Israel. Follow God, He'll deliver you from those things. But the choice is ours. Who are we going to follow?